My name is Molly Green. I am 16 years old. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2018, and I'm speaking with Jim White, who is my grandpa. We are recording this interview in Ladera Ranch, California.
Do you have to say my age? Hello, everybody. Let me first preface this interview with the fact that I have never allowed such an interview, nor have I talked at length on this sensitive subject. I have remained relatively silent on the Vietnam War and my involvement in same because it's not only still with me today, but also because those times that I have offered a few details on the war, I find people remain glassy-eyed and do not understand the deep layers of what it meant to fight in a country so far from home. So it is my hope that everybody that listens to this interview takes one nugget of information or meaning, digests it so that in the future they can relate when they hear, read, or watch media reports on conflicts abroad and have a glimmer of comprehension of what daily life in a war zone is all about. Additionally, do not take for granted your freedom because that liberty was fought for by so many that gave their lives. For me, the war has never been over, not only because I fought there, but because I lost several friends, four of them very close. Additionally, what concerned me and still does is the bias many Americans felt against those who served because they were viewed as killers of civilians and that we lost the war. Most Americans agree that this war was a dreadful mistake, but everyone has a different takeaway from the war. The war ended in April 30th, 1975, but for me, it has never been over. It's been an everlasting affair. The memories, mostly horrific, have been embedded in my mind forever. From the first day my platoon disembarked from that transport plane in Da Nang to the body bags being loaded for the return flight back to the States, to the constant bombings and sniper fire, the genocide of entire villages, the despair, anxiety, pain, poverty, hunger, and torture of thousands of innocent people, there were few moments of happiness, laughter, or serenity.
Okay, so our first question, do you remember when you first arrived in Vietnam and what was it like?
That was in September, early September of 1967. We landed on a very dreary day, and there were approximately 200 of us that disembarked from the transport plane onto this empty airstrip. And then we were converted by cattle cars. They were basically emptied or abandoned tractor trailers. And they transported us to our soon-to-be station in Da Nang. And at that point, we were ushered over to the enlisted man's club, where we immediately saw that there was a bomb sticking in the roof that never exploded. So that was my first day.
That's kind of scary.
Yes, it was. And it was just, it was difficult in the beginning because I was only 21 years old and many of my friends were approximately my age or even younger. And it was difficult being a strange person in a strange land, especially in a war-torn country such as Vietnam.
So what were the other soldiers like?
Most of them were young like myself, didn't know what they were getting into. Most of them were very patriotic. There were a few older people that had served in previous wars that were basically in charge of, you know, our platoon. But most of the people that I had met, I became very tight with. So we all hung out together. We played cards together, played pool together. Just basically, you know, we had a lot of talks together about the war, and what our feelings were about it. And, you know, basically how much we missed at home. But we made that our home for the next 8 months.
Wow. Yeah. Well, who, of like, of all the other soldiers, or who was the most interesting person you met?
There were four. Four of the friends that were very close to me that I lost were very interesting. One was from Oklahoma. He was a total hick, but a great guy. I mean, he would give you the shirt off his back. Another one was from Maine. The other one was from Connecticut, and the last one was from California. So they were all from different states, and they all had different backgrounds. They had all had different personalities, but we just gelled as soon as we met. And we became a very tight bunch until that one eventful day where I basically saw all of them just wiped out within, you know, a second.
What happened?
Well, they were on a piece of heavy equipment that they were, basically what our job was, I was in the Navy, and but it was the CB's part of the Navy, which was equivalent to the Army Engineers. So we constructed airstrips, housing facilities, roads, we built bridges. So that was our primary duties. And on this one day, my four friends were on this heavy piece of equipment, and they ran over a landmine. And two of them were instantly killed, and the other two were evacuated to the hospital in critical condition. And shortly thereafter, they died. So that was a traumatic day for me. That's something that I will never forget.
Well, that was actually my next question. What's something you'd never forget? So we can just skip over that one. On a lighter note, what was your favorite memory?
Well, there weren't too many over there. Yeah. I guess one of my favorite memories was when we did have one of the few times, you know, we got together and we played music. That's when I think I first learned to play the guitar over in Vietnam. And one of my buddies had taught me a little bit more than I had knew. And we started singing. And all of a sudden, there was a group of people that joined us. And we all started just hammering away at songs. And we started laughing and joking around with each other. And basically, it was one of those times where you just forgot that you were in a war zone because you were just having so much fun with the people that, you know, you cared about. That was probably the happiest time that I experienced over there. Yeah. That and the day that I left for Vietnam.
Yeah. What was it like to come back after the war?
I had mixed emotions because, you know, as I stated prior to the interview, there was a lot of biasness toward Americans that served in Vietnam, because there was a lot of upheaval in the United States. There was rioting on campus. A lot of Americans left the United States for Canada because they wanted to avoid the draft. So it wasn't a war that was very popular with a lot of people, all right, especially my age group. So I was more or less looked down upon, as was a lot of the people that served in Vietnam. Nobody asked, you know, how were you over there? You know, we appreciate your service over there or anything like that. There wasn't any gratitude expressed. aside from the, you know, my friends back home, they were glad to see me. There was a lot of negativity that was going around.
And like, personally, politically, how did you feel about the war?
I felt it was a mistake. Yeah. And a lot of higher officials, although they, you know, supported a lot of the, well, actually, we went through five presidents in the Vietnam War. First with President Eisenhower, and then it ended with President Nixon, peppered with, you know, Kennedy and Johnson. So even the higher officials, they realized that the war was a mistake, that it was unwinnable. And we started realizing that probably in the Johnson era, and then when it got to Nixon, because the ratings were going down. Ratings with Johnson and Nixon were going down, so they tried to pull us out. And even Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said this war is unwinnable, as did General Westmoreland. So a lot of the higher officials realized it was a total mistake, as a lot of people who served in Vietnam realized it was a mistake. There was a lot of money wasted. There was a lot of lives spent unnecessarily. And we didn't gain any ground, because when we left in 1975, the communists took over South Vietnam. So all those lives, we lost over 58,000 men. You know, we spent over $120 billion in the war. And I think half of the 3 million lives that were lost were innocent civilians over in Vietnam.
I had a question I was going to ask, like, that I thought of when you were saying that, but I completely forgot. So, we'll go to the next question.
Okay.
Do you ever think about your experiences today?
Yes. And I never have warning when I'm going to experience that. Sometimes I'll think about them. I'll have dreams. I wouldn't call them nightmares, although in the beginning, when I came home, I did have nightmares. But that subsided. But I do have dreams infrequently. I think about it when I see servicemen, you know, whether I'm treating, you know, patients of mine that have been in the service or currently in the service, whether I see, you know, service personnel in the street, and I get a chance to talk to them. So it just comes back to you automatically, you know. It's like something that's just built into you. You know, it's something that's never going to leave. It's an impression that's been so ingrained in your mind that because of the brutality and the horrific experiences that I went through, it's something that will be with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I remembered the question I was going to ask earlier. Are you still in touch with anyone that you met during the war?
I remained in touch with a couple of buddies of mine for a couple years after that, and then we just lost touch with each other.
Okay, so my last question is, what do you regret? I thought this was a good question, too.
Yeah. It's not that I don't regret serving initially, because I had gone over there with good intentions, you know, very patriotic intentions, fighting for my country. I do regret the decision of the United States to remain in the war for so long, having seen all these lives that were being lost, all the money that was being spent, not paying attention to the voice in country about where we should be, you know, what we should stand for. There was a lot of needless loss of, like I say, lives and money. And it just was unprincipled, I thought, to remain in such, you know, a war for so long of a period when they knew better. You know, they knew we were going to lose the war, and yet they still continued the bombings. They continued to spend money over there. So that's what I regret. I regret not having more of a voice. Although when I did get in on campus in college, I did have a say on, you know, what our stance was in foreign conflicts. I only wish that I had participated in those voicings a lot sooner. You know. But then again, you know, I was young. I was only 21 years old. You know, I was basically a very naive person about war and what it was like until I actually got over there and served in a war. And this is my point that I try to bring across to people that are trying to have a good understanding of what it's like with foreign conflicts or any type of a conflict, whether it's in the United States or abroad. You can't really understand the conflict or the participants within that conflict unless you are actually in the conflict.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I can relate to you everything that I was experiencing over there, and whether or not you experienced it or not, or whether you feel it, that's going to be something else. And I don't think you can feel it unless you actually
were there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and that's why I've been, very reticent on speaking out to people about Vietnam, and I have remained silent on the topic, all right, because I don't feel people have a solid understanding of what actually went on there, unless they were there.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Okay, and last, is there anything else that I didn't cover that you wanted to just like throw out there?
No, I mean, I could, you know, expound upon the, you know, the history of the Vietnam War, you know, since the French ruled it in the late 19th century up until, you know, the present day, but I'll leave that to your history teacher.
That's fair. Okay, well, thank you very much for participating in this interview.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it a lot. That's all. Yes, I want to finish the recording.